Blog Talk Radio.
Coach D, I want to welcome you on tonight. Thank you for joining me in the studio, as well as those that's joining me from the internet. I just want to say thank you on tonight. Wow, tonight's show. What can I say about tonight's show? I would say that I'm excited. That has become my adjective that I use frequently on every show that I am excited. I'm always excited about what God has for his people and what he will tell his people and what he wants his people to understand. And I just thank God, because it's not Coach D, has little to nothing to do with Coach D, but I make myself available to be a vessel to be used by God. So that is not my will, but that is his will that be done, that whatever he has for us on tonight, that the word will be clear, that it will be a rhema word, and that it will be tangible, something that we could take, that we could use, and that we could become more like him. Amen. So again, I just want to welcome you on tonight. And I think I'm going to start tonight. I'm going to open up in prayer, not a think. I'm going to open up in prayer because this subject on tonight really has been a struggle for me. And there's going to come some a lot of transparency with tonight's show. It's going to come a lot of, as I often tell you all, is that I don't speak about things that I don't know about. I speak about things that I know about. Most of the things that I bring to the show outside of bringing a guest, things that I speak to you about direct are generally things that I've been through or that I'm going through. And I thank God that he has allowed me to be transparent in the gifts of the ministry that he's given me, that I could be transparent and don't have to be ashamed or be in fear of what I share with you all, because I know that I serve a mighty God, and I know that my God is bigger than anything that I could go through on this earth, in this body. And so I'm willing to be transparent to share, because I'm not so much concerned about my emotions of shame or embarrassment, more so than I'm concerned that the next person listening will be hopeful that there is hope, that there is a way out, that we, that you can do it, and that God has given us the tools and the resources to do it. So tonight's show, again, I'm excited, but it did not come with a lot of, it was birthed with a lot of pain, a lot of pain. Father, we just want to thank you on tonight. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are here on tonight. Father God, we welcome you in this place. Have your way. Show up as only you know how to show up, Father God. Speak a rhema word to your people that they will be able to take it and run with it, Father, that they could be transformed by the renewing of their mind, that they will have a mind like Christ. Father, we just thank you on the night. Let your word be relevant, Father God. Father God, give us an ear to hear what thus said the Lord. Father, open our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we could just begin to take on your word, Lord, and allow that word to blossom in our lives. I thank you for each and every person listening in on tonight. Father, whatever they're going through, whatever they've been through, Father God, I pray that you will give them exactly what they need. We know that no one is on this call by happenstance. We know that they have already been predestined from the foundation of the earth to be on this call tonight, Father. So again, we welcome you. I submit completely to you. Allow me to die that the greater will live, which is you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight's subject matter, if you didn't get a chance to see the flyer, tonight's subject is my mind is messed up. My mind is messed up, and I cannot escape. And so we're going to just keep it real in here. How many of us listening in on tonight, this last couple of weeks for me has been grueling. And I said I was going to be very transparent, but I have been in mental battle for the last 2 to 3 weeks. And life is going great. Things with business is looking up. I mean, things are just, for the most part, I would say in my life are going great. So why would I be having this mental battle? And I asked the Lord that. I said, Lord, I don't understand. I'm in war. I'm in warfare. And two things that come to mind when you start dealing with mental warfare, spiritual warfare, two things come to mind. The first thing that comes to our mind, just as humans, is, okay, Lord, am I doing something wrong? What did I do? Am I being punished? Did I miss the mark? You know, we start looking and try to see, where do I need to repent? Let me repent just in case. That's the first thing you start doing. Once you get past that portion, we said, okay, I think I'm pretty lined up. Lord, what is it that you want me to know? The other thing is that we have to know that because we are believers, we have to know that there's going to be attacks, that the enemy's job and his main purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we have to know that there's going to be attacks. So we're going to deal with the attack that you're in order, that we're in order. I'm going to deal with that because I could get into 2, 3, 4 hours of a show talking about our mind. But so tonight I'm not going to deal with I'm not going to deal with the unrepentant mind. I'm not going to deal with the mind that's operating in a life of sin to the degree that God has turned that mind to a reprobate mind. I'm not going to deal with those things. I want to deal with the mind that is being attacked because of who you are and what you've been called to do. The mind has been attacked to get you off track to the assignment that God has called you to. That's the mind we're going to deal with on tonight, because I believe that's the mind that I've been going through for a few weeks now, and it's really been, it's a hard thing because you're constant battle, you're constantly warring, you're constantly speaking the word to cast down vain imaginations and those things that attempt to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God's word, and that scripture, and I'll give you that scripture as well. I'm going to be giving you some scriptures tonight because I want to give you some things to hold on to. I want to give you some anchors that you could, that when you're going through this type of season, you'll know how you could get out of that season, how you could pray your way through. One of the things I want you to be aware of, and this is a key thing, I could give you all the scriptures in the world. I could sit up here and I could give you my experiences. I could tell you just have faith and believe. But one of the things I want to tell you that's been crucial in me pulling myself out of this mental war, and it's amazing. I'm going to share something with you. 2 weeks ago, my pastor at my church taught on the Assyrian spirit, which is a spirit that attacks your thought life. And on that day, with that message, the anointing was so heavy in the church that people were just passing out in the spirit. So many people were familiar with this spirit, and so many people have been dealing with this spirit. And so I say that to say because I would almost be willing to bet that my attack came about right about that time. And I began to battle in the mind. And the battle in the mind has constantly been during this process, and I'm going to be an open window. The battle in the mind has been, you're blowing it. You're disconnected. Time is running short. Maybe you won't make it. So how many of us deal with those kinds of thoughts? Do you really serve God? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you working hard enough? Now, see, you could tell by some of the things I'm saying that that's not God, because we all know that I couldn't work hard enough to work my way into heaven, because that's not how you get into heaven. And so, but these are the things that our mind begins to play tricks on us. You know, our mind begins to play these games on us. And this is spiritual warfare. This is where we're being. The enemy is playing with our minds. And if we're not careful, and we often do, I entertain these thoughts. See, we're not even supposed to entertain those type of thoughts. We're not even supposed to entertain the enemy. But I was entertaining it. I began to say, maybe you have a point. Maybe you're right. Oh, my gosh, maybe I'm not doing this. Maybe I'm not. Maybe, what have I opened myself up to? What did I allow in my life? What am I doing? Oh, my gosh, I'm blowing it. And I began to go into conversation back and forth in this. Wrong thing to do. And after this journey and this war and we're going to get back to that. But after this journey in the world, one of the things I found out, when the enemy begins to play tricks with your mind, your first course of action is worship. I'm going to say that again. When the enemy begins to play tricks with your mind, your first course of action is worship. Shut down, shut out, and begin to worship God. Begin to worship God. Begin to just worship in the spirit. Begin to just worship him and praise him and exalt him. Because there's something in the presence of worship that brings forth the Spirit of God, and the enemy cannot stand in the presence of God. And I think some of us know this, but oftentimes when we're going through, for some reason, worship is the last thing we think about. For some reason, worship is the thing that goes on the back burner for us. It's like that's the last thing we do. Okay, I done did everything else. I'm going to worship. But I will just challenge you that if you put the worship, that then you don't even have to go through weeks of this. You don't have to go through weeks of dealing with that force. I'm going to go into some scriptures because I really want us, again, to have some things to hold on to. I want you to know that it's real. I want you to know, you know, that if the enemy can invade your thoughts, he will control your actions. One of the ways I knew that I was being invaded is not just because I knew I was battling. I know that spirit. I know the trick of the enemy. I know when he comes with the spirit of depression. I know when he comes with the spirit of irritability. I know when he comes with those spirits. See, before I didn't know that, and as a result of me not knowing that, I walked around with a bad attitude. I just had a bad attitude. I'm mad. I don't know why I'm mad. I'm just mad. Stay out of my way because I'm mad. I remember my parents used to call me a barracuda. They said, "You're just a barracuda, Denise." And I was a barracuda because I was being attacked. I probably figured I was being attacked, and guess what? I didn't care I was being attacked. I was going to own it. But now that I know, because as I began to transform transformed by the renewing of my mind, as I began to get into the Word of God, as I began to build a relationship with God, I started recognizing when these attacks were coming on me. I recognized when the spirit of depression is trying to come on me. And we can't say, you know, people say, spirit of depression, I hear other Christians do this. Other Christians stop doing this to people. Because as believers, I hear people say, you a believer, you believe in God. Why are you worried? Or you believe in God. Why are you depressed? Stop doing that to people. Because you are not sanctioned from those spirits. You have to know how to begin to battle against those spirits. And it doesn't mean that those spirits won't come because you're in the flesh. Your body is in opposition to the spirit. So you're in the flesh. These things are gonna come. And it's your duty to begin to identify when these spirits are coming so that you'll be able to war against them. You'll be able to pray. You'll be able to stand in prayer so that you don't have to deal with these spirits. So saying all that to say, even with me knowing this, even with me knowing and being able to identify the spirit of depression, I knew the spirit of depression was coming. I knew what it looked like. I didn't want to deal with it. And I was fighting. I was fighting earnestly because I was not willing to give in to the spirit of depression. And so I'm fighting. I'm warring. I know I'm warring. And so from the outside looking in, Coach D looked perfect. Coach D looked fine. Coach D looked like life is great. Life is grand because it is. But nobody knew that on the inside, Coach D is going through some stuff. On the inside, Coach D is questioning herself as a mother. Coach D is questioning her ministry. Coach D is questioning her relationships. I'm not talking about man relationships. I'm just talking about relationships, period, with people. Who am I allowing in my space? And the people that I'm allowing in my space, are these people contributing? Are they good factors or are they negative factors? Are they lined up? Are they lined up with where I'm at in life, or are they not lined up? Are they sent as a God-appointed thing, or are they sent by the enemy? These are the things that I was questioning myself. I begin to question. I begin to wonder. I begin to ponder. I begin to war in my mind. And I was fighting this invasion because I did not want this invasion to begin to affect my actions. I did not want the invasion to begin to cause me to shut down. And how I knew that I was being invaded was irritability, murmuring, complaining. The old me came back. I could see her coming back. I could see the spirit coming back, mouthy, everything, you know, gossipy. And so I began to see these various spirits come on the scene. I said, oops, there's an invasion taking place. I got to fight this. And how do you fight this? You fight it through the word of God. You fight it through the word of God. And you begin to find scripture, and you begin to find the word of God that could help you. I'm going to go as far back as to say this. I was fellowshipping. Anytime I do a subject, I really do study on it. I study and I find scriptures and I find things that, not just with my personal experience or what I'm going through, but I find the word of God that relates to it. And so I was fellowshipping with one of my brothers today, and we went all the way back to the days of Moses. And I found it quite amazing because we went all the way back to the day of Moses, and he began to speak about Moses delivering the people. And he delivered. We were talking about everything that's going on, and we see what's going on in the world, and we were talking about slavery. And we were talking about how people really, on the slave thing, they're making it a black thing. They're making it a just happened from Africa type of thing, just came over on the boat to the U.S. But we went all the way back to when Moses took the slaves out of Egypt. They were slaves. And he took them out. God delivered them out of Egypt. And with all the miracles they seen, with the parting of the Red Sea, with half of Pharaoh's armies being drowned in the Red Sea, with God providing every basic need that they needed, it don't talk about sandals, but I'm sure that he even provided foot covering, but he provided manna. He did all these things, and yet the people were complaining. They wanted to go back. Because what happened was is the people physically left their environment, but mentally they never left. They never stopped being slaves. It happened in the day of Moses, and it's happening now. It happened 200 years ago, and it's happening now. That the slave mentality hasn't changed. It's still a slave mentality that the people possess. And so it's the mind. And why are you talking about slavery, Coach D? Because I'm trying to get us to understand the mind. That if we don't be transformed by the renewing of the mind, in other words, don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, then we will continue to repeat the same things over and over. We will continue to be in war in our mind. They said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. And how many of us do the same thing? How many of us continue to do the same thing, the same habit, allow the same things that we know we shouldn't be allowing, eat the same thing? You know, how many of us may talk about, oh, gosh, I got weight, I got to deal with it. But we continue to keep the same habits and the same lifestyle and the same eating pattern. I haven't arrived. So I'm not saying I have arrived, but I'm saying it's our mind. We're in constant battle with our mind, with the enemies of our mind that invade our mind. And when we allow that to happen, it shows in our actions. It shows in our actions.
And when Romans, and you probably all know, and I've said this scripture throughout just so far in the show, but Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This is the word of God. This is not Coach D, but the word of God says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's telling us, it's scripture after scripture that's talking to us about our mind. That's just one. Again, that was Romans 12:2. Note it down. Learn it. Meditate on it. So that when times are coming against you, against your mind, these are some scriptures that you can meditate on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. It's already given us a guideline to where we want our thoughts to go. So instead of worrying about this or worrying about that or worrying about that, it's telling us, think on these other things. Get our minds right. Begin to become master of our emotions. Become master of our emotions, because when we begin to master our emotions, when we begin to get our minds right, when we begin to focus on the word of God, there's a song, and I've been telling people about it. I love this song. It's become this is my worship song. This song could come on, and I tell you, when this song come on, I'm done. The Shekinah glory arrives. And it is, the name of the song is Abba, I Belong to You. And now there's two or three different people who sing this song, but the one person that sing it that really ministers to me is a gentleman by the name of Leon Timbo. And I tell you, if you get an opportunity, YouTube it, Leon Timbo, Abba, I Belong to You. If you get a chance, listen to that song. If you're going through right now mentally and you're in a struggle and you're fighting these spirits of depression, oppression, you're fighting the spirits of insanity and madness, because those are spirits. Listen to this song and listen to the words of it, because what this song is telling us is that God got to be more, he's got to become your reality. He lives inside of us, and he said that his thoughts, God's thoughts should define us. And I know this sounds, wow, but think about it. God's thoughts should define us, and his thoughts is his word. So when we get into his word and we begin to meditate or read his word should define us. And when his words begin to define us in our minds, he becomes our reality. Nothing else matters. We're not concerned with who the president is. We're not concerned with who's not supporting us or who is supporting us. We're not concerned with if I'm married or if I'm going to get married, if I'm ever going to be married. We don't concern ourselves with those things because he becomes our reality. And I know that's easier said than done, because it costs us something to stay conscious. And in order for God to define us, in order for God to become our reality, we got to stay in a conscious state of mind. And what we're finding in this world is that many of us don't want to be conscious, because in order to be conscious, it costs you something. In order to be conscious, you got to make some decisions. And most of us don't want to make decisions. We'd rather stay unconscious, because then we think if we stay unconscious, I don't have to be held accountable to my actions. I don't have to be held accountable to the things I say and do. So I'll stay unconscious. Well, what are ways that we stay unconscious? I said we. Some of us stay unconscious on drugs. Some of us stay unconscious through alcohol. Some of us stay unconscious because we'll sit up and watch TV, certain shows, and it keeps us unconscious. We don't have to deal with the real world. Easy to stay unconscious. Because for me to be unconscious, I could cuss you out when you make me mad and don't think nothing about it. It's easy to stay unconscious. Because being unconscious, I could be a victim and it could be everybody else's fault. And I could continue to be victimized by other victims. I'm going to say that again because I really want someone to hear that. Be victimized, continue to be victimized by other victims. You know, often you hear people say it's the strong against the weak, only the strong survive, the strong against the weak. But what I'm seeing is that it's the weak against the weaker or the weakest, the weak against the weakest. Because when you think about a person that would even attack somebody or do something to somebody that would cause them to be a victim, they're probably doing it because they are a victim. So the victimized is being victimized by the victim. Amen. So we want to just learn to, oh, got kind of wet with that. Yes, Holy Spirit, I hear you. 2 Timothy tells us, chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us, and why did I jump to there? Because as I said that, you know, being in a state of unconsciousness, and when we're unconscious, we could be the victim so that we could blame others. We could be weak and timid. And the Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. See, so when I read that, that's just words for most of us. But when God really truly becomes our reality and his thoughts define us, then when we read 2 Timothy, how can we continue to be a victim? How can we continue to want to be unconscious? How can we continue to move through life unconscious and numb? Because the Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit of God doesn't give us a timid, make us timid. That's what it says. But it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That sounds every bit of a conscious mind to me. He's requiring us to be conscious. He's requiring us to be alert. He's requiring us to be aware. This is one of his requirements. So when we're dealing with this mind thing, there's another scripture that I really want to give because, you know, again, tonight I'm not going to talk about why some of the times people lose their mind. I'm not going to talk about the sin, you know, unrepentant sin in our lives, that if we operate in a sin, that those things that cause us to lose our mind. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, read the whole thing, because you'll find out in Deuteronomy chapter 28, as you get down into there, that it was the Lord that smite people with, that caused people to lose their mind, that turned them over to reprobate mind, that smite them with madness and blindness, and that, you know, all of this kind of stuff because they were in sin and they chose not to repent. So we're not even talking about that tonight. We're talking about the attack on you when you are in line with God, when you are trying to live according to his will in your life, and you find yourself in those moments of attack, when you find yourself in the moments where you're being plagued with the spirit of depression, where you're being plagued with the spirit of anxiety. And if we're not careful, now I want you to hear me. I believe mental illness is real. It's real for people who have mental illness. That's a real thing. And under no circumstances is Coach D speaking against you going and getting your therapy. I think that's good that you're acknowledging I have an issue and I need help. I'm not speaking against if you have medication. So I don't want you to say, Coach D told me to get off my medication now and got off my medication and something happened. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. And I'm not making light of those who've suffered through mental illness. I'm talking to those of us who deal with things that I believe we can control. And those things I'm talking about is the, and I'm not saying some people, somebody might have, I want to be careful. I really want to be sensitive, but I believe that every spiritual, I believe that we don't fight against, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against spirits and principalities and rulers and high places. It's a spiritual fight. So when we say depression, that's a spirit. When we say anxiety, that's a spirit. When we say schizophrenia, that's a spirit. These are spirits. And we're under spiritual attack. And we got to recognize when it's a spiritual attack, because we can't fight a spiritual attack carnally. You cannot fight a spirit. Pornography, and we can't fight it carnally. We got to fight the spirit in the spirit, or fight those spirits in the spirit. And when we're trying to fight them carnal, and that's what most of us do, me too. I these spirits come about, or they show them their ugly head somewhere, and the first thing I want to do is in the natural, I want to kick somebody in the throat. Woo, Coach D, you said that? Yes. First thing I want to do is kick them. I want to beat them up. You remember your grandparents used to say back in the day, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. And that's my first reaction. I'm just going to beat the devil out of them. But we can't. We didn't beat some people probably into some mental illnesses by trying to beat the devil out of them. We didn't beat them crazy. And now they crazy, and we don't know why, because we didn't beat them crazy. But I'm saying we can't. We got to be, the Word of God tells us that some things you only could get rid of through prayer and fasting. Through praying and fasting. So I'm saying we got to recognize the attacks. We got to recognize the spirit. We got to recognize that it's spiritual. And when we begin to recognize it's spiritual, and the only way we can fight this is through the spirit and the word of God. The word of God. And if you don't believe the word of God, then you don't believe God. And then you got to question yourself and ask yourself the question, am I really a believer? Because if you believe the word of God, then you know the word is powerful. You know his words are powerful. Why would you say that, Coach D? Because if you go back to Genesis 1, he said, in the beginning was the word. And he said he spoke words to form everything. He spoke it, and it was done, and it was good. He spoke it, and it was done, and it was good. He spoke it. So look at the power of words. He spoke it, and it manifested. That's power. Then move it up a couple hundred years, and then Jesus came, the Word, the living Word. Regardless of what people want to say, if you're a believer, then you believe that God, that Jesus was the Son of God, and it was that God in the flesh, the living Word, and he spoke words, and people were healed. So it's power in the Word. So if there's power in the word, and we're believers, and we believe there's power in the word, then we know that the word, the word has everything that we need to change and transform situations. The word, we use the word through prayer. God said that he watches over his word to perform it, that it will not return unto him void. So when he tells us that we deliver, when he tells us that we were healed by his stripes, when he tells us that we could do all things, that's the word of God, and he's watching over it to perform it. And oftentimes people are speaking the word, but they really don't believe what they're speaking. And then they get mad at God because it didn't manifest. Mark 11:22 tells us a way to pray. It tells us what we have to do. Pray in faith. Speak it. In other words, say it. Believe it. Don't doubt it. And if there be any unforgiveness, forgive. And that's how you get your prayers answered. That's in a simple equation. But none of us read the Word of God and look at it like that. I didn't look at it like that. I had to learn that through my mentor who taught me. Look at the Word of God like it's light. And the Word of God is light. It's powerful, and it produces change. And when we begin to look at it from that standpoint, when we begin to look at it as rhema, we begin to look at it as a perception, it begins to change some things. It changes heart. It changes mind. It changes lives. We've seen it. It changed our lives. It changed my life, your life. That's why we believe. Why else would you believe in God? Why else would you believe in him? If he ain't able to do nothing or you don't feel like he's done anything, why would you believe in him? Who would serve a God that's not able? Ooh, don't get religious on me. Who would serve a God that's not able? I'm not saying that he didn't want to. I said that's not able. I'm not saying that he didn't, but who's not able? None of us. And I don't care how much you want to be religious, you're not going to serve God if he ain't able to meet your needs. You're not going to serve a God that's not able to meet your needs. But God is able. He's able to meet those needs. He's able to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, according to his will and his purpose. Amen. What I would like to do is we're halfway. Woo, we're almost to the end of the show. I would like to open up the line. If there will be anybody that's listening in on tonight and you have a question, you have a comment about tonight's show, you have a pushback, a challenge about tonight's show, dial one on your dial pad. We would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your thoughts on tonight's show. You may have had an experience. And you want to share that experience. Oh, great. Caller, area code 310, last four, 4336. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Hey, what's up, dear? How you doing?
I'm good. Hello? I can barely hear you.
This is Terrell.
Well, hey, good evening, my brother. How are you?
I'm fine, I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm great.
I was just letting you know I enjoyed the lesson tonight. Very informative, very sweet to form, and factuals that, you know, you can't not deny.
Amen. Well, I thank you for listening in on tonight.
For some reason,
I don't know if you have a bad connection, but it's really broken up. Oh, that's much better.
Yeah, I had it on the phone, on the speaker, on the car. But, yeah, Denise, I just wanted to tell you I appreciate the message there. This is Terrell, and I'm let you know I'm listening in.
Well, thank you for listening in, and thank you for your support so much. And I'm glad that this lesson ministered. I'm glad that it ministered to you. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Okay, dear. No problem, all right?
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So if there's any other callers, please dial one on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. I'm going to continue. We have about maybe 15 minutes left in the show, so there's still plenty of time if you have questions or comments. I'm just going to go ahead and kind of take us towards the end. I want to kind of go over some of these scriptures that I think that you should jot down. One of the scriptures I want you to jot down on tonight, of course, we went over Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We went over Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. I told you, when you get a chance, read all of Deuteronomy 28 because it'll really help you. And then the other thing, the scripture I want you to jot down is Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. And I'm going to read that too because I thought it was profound. I thought it was great because it's telling us. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And we as believers, and we say we love God, and we say we desire to be more like God, and we all, this all is a journey. This is a journey for us all, and we ain't going to always get it right. We're not going to always get it right. But I just want us to have hope that there is an expected end, to have hope to push towards the mark of the high calling, to push towards God, and to put and to get into his word and know his word for yourself and get it in your spirit so that when you're battling, because the enemy will, he's going to come up against you. What team you know, if the only time your opponent taunts you is when you're winning or you're going to win. I'm going to repeat that. The only time your opponent taunts you, that means tease, try to distract you, play with your mind, is when you're winning or you're going to win. And guess what? When you decided to give your life to Christ and when you decide to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you got on the winning team because we've already won the game. We've already won, and the enemy knows we won. So he doesn't have to try to taunt and mess with the minds of those who haven't accepted Christ. He don't have to. They're not winning. He ain't got nothing he can take from them. But for those of us who are believers, who have accepted the call to Christ, the call to salvation, then we won. And we're winning, and we're won, and he's gonna taunt, and he's gonna come at us. He's gonna play with our mind, and we gotta know when he's doing that, and we gotta shut it down. We have to shut it down so that we don't get caught up and find ourselves debating with the enemy. You know what? Sleeping with the enemy. There was a movie called Sleeping with the Enemy, and that's what it is. And when we begin to debate and go back and forth in our minds with the enemy. And we start questioning and we start considering what he's talking about to us, that starts begin to cause us to be anxious and worried, then we're sleeping with the enemy. And we don't want to sleep with the enemy. We don't want to give him the time of the day. We don't even want to give him enough time. And I'm not saying he won't try. I'm not saying that he won't form weapons, but the word of God tells us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. So I'm not going to say that he won't form weapons, but what we got to say is we're not going to entertain the weapons he formed because we already was told that they're not going to prosper. And the word of God also tells us, and I'm going to give you this scripture because it tells us to cast down vain imagination. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And it's telling us to cast down vain imaginations and anything that attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When I say that I'm warring, when I say that the last couple of weeks that I've been in a mental anguish, that I've been warring in the spirit, that the enemy has tried to play with my mind, this is my scripture. I wear this scripture out. I know this scripture so well. It's written on my heart. Because every time the enemy come knocking at my door with a mess to try to make me think or make me feel, I'm not saying he don't knock, he do. And it's been some times where I cracked the door open to try to see who it is as if I didn't know who it was. But I have to fight him with this scripture. I have to cast it down. I have to begin to speak the word. And this is the word I speak. I'm casting down vain imagination. I'm casting down, what's vain imagination? I'm casting down worry. I'm casting down stress. I'm casting down defeat. I'm casting down all these vain imaginations that will attempt to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God's word and what God's word say. It says it. Remember, 2 Timothy said it, that God gave us, that the spirit of God doesn't give us a timid spirit, but power, love, and self-discipline. So we just got to start speaking the word and know the word and get into the word. And sometimes when you just can't get into the word, because believe it or not, when you start studying the word, that word gets in your spirit. And so you don't even have to open up the Bible. Sometimes the word of God will come up in your spirit. It will come up in your spirit because the Holy Spirit is there to bring all things to your remembrance. And he'll bring the word to us. And sometimes we just need to get on our face and just pray and worship. Pray and worship. Sometimes we don't need to say nothing. Prayer is saying something. Worship is letting God say something. Sometimes we don't need to say nothing. We just need to get into a spirit of worship and allow God to minister to us right where we're at. Allow God to minister to you right where you're at. Get into a spirit of worship. Get your worship music on. I would tell you this, and I say this from my heart. If you've never taken the time to worship, if you've never had a worship experience, you don't know God. Ooh, that might be harsh. And that may have stepped on some people's toes, and I'm okay with that. I just want you to know Coach D love you. And I don't get on here every Thursday and every Tuesday. I don't get on the network because I need to be heard. I could be doing a lot of other things. I get on the network, and I bring things to you because I want to see people delivered, and I want to see people whole, and I want to see people walking in righteousness, right choices. And so I say to you, if you've never experienced worship, you don't know God. Because what relationship would anybody want if the other person is always the one doing the talking? And we as believers, we are supposed to pray. He tells us to pray without ceasing. But if we always doing the talking and we never still enough to let him talk back, most of us say, I've been praying for that and believing for that for years. I don't know why God haven't answered that prayer. I just don't get it. Maybe he answered the prayer, but you won't be quiet long enough to hear the answer. Maybe you will not be quiet long enough to hear his answer. So I challenge you all tonight, those listening in through the internet and those that's in the studio live, have a worship experience. Get you some worship music, and that soft, gentle music that cries before the Lord, asking for nothing, but being thankful for everything, and allow his presence to fill you. Have that intimate relationship with him through worship. And then when you have that relationship with him through worship, then you can say, Abba, Father, I know you, and I heard you. And yes, Lord, I will. So, Father, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for the word that went forth. We thank you for your very presence, Lord. I pray for each and every individual on the phone today, Father God. I pray for their worship experience. I pray, Father God, that when they begin to worship, Lord, that you will begin to speak to their spirit, that you will begin to love on them, Father, and nurture them, that they will be able to have an experience, Father God, that's beyond their wildest thoughts, Father. Father God, I pray, too, right now, Father God, for peace, a spirit of peace, that our minds, Father God, would be stayed on you, that we will cast down vain imaginations and anything that attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of your word, that this mind that was in Christ will also be in us. Lord, that you will become our thoughts, that you will define us, and Lord, that you will become our reality. We thank you, I praise you, Lord, and I magnify you in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us on tonight, and we pray that you will continue to join us weekly on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. with Woman to Woman, and then on Thursday nights, we have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D, at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, we thank you for your continual support of MCD Network. I want to make you aware that we are MCD Network in conjunction with Concrete Roads. We are doing a project called Keep Warm. We are collecting blankets, beanies, and socks. Blankets, beanies, and socks that we are collecting. We will be doing we're going to Skid Row where we will be passing these out to the homeless on the 17th of December. So we're asking anyone that wants to give a blanket, beanie, or socks, or if you say, hey, I don't have time to go get it, I would like to donate. It is a tax deductible donation, and you could inbox me, give me a call if you have my number. Hit me up on Facebook or Instagram. You can hit us up on our MCD Network page or the Processing the Pain page. If you'd like to donate, we would appreciate it. We are giving to those less fortunate. But we're going to be giving to those less fortunate. This is the cold season. As you guys know, the weather temperature has dropped tremendously. And we were out there a month ago passing out lunches for those less fortunate. And there's people out there that don't even have shoes. They're walking around barefooted. And so what we take for granted, they need socks and blankets and beanies. The blankets and stuff, they don't have to be new. If you don't have the money, you might have old blankets laying around your house that's not tore up and, you know, crazy, but you might have some old blankets you just don't use no more. Maybe you have queen blankets, but you upgraded to a king bed. So if you have those blankets clean, if you wash them, we would love to take them. So if you're interested in that, again, hit me up after the show, and I could give you information. I could come pick them up from you or let you know where you could drop them off, but we would appreciate it. Anyway, know that you are loved and appreciated. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.
I can feel it in this place tonight. Spirit of the Lord is here, breaking chains up, lifting heavy loads. Hey, yeah. Something's happening in this atmosphere.
The need to sing prophetically right now.